Well, also, what's really nice is when we start getting our guest speakers, we may just switch over to the Nord classroom and record everything to DVD. Did it make it work?
Did you have some things that you wanted to talk about first?
Hardly anything. I mean, the co-op students I'll notify about the final report template.
There could come some more in.
No rush. So how's 386?
There's another one.
So ago on the whole general area of professional engineering management. It's important to understand that although we started talking about teamwork at the beginning, and this is going to be talking about a subject primarily around the area of planning, the two are really integrated. Just because we're talking about a subject of project management doesn't necessarily mean that you have a separate area known as teamwork. Teamwork, in fact, is part of project management. And there is an addition, additionally to that, the whole subject of project management is not something that we're going to take on as a whole. We're going to talk about only a small part. The area we're going to talk about today probably has a lot to do with your efforts that you're first going to be involved with in planning your project, starting your whole task, generally getting your mindset together. And one of the things that we want to make sure that we get across here is that there's a mindset and an approach toward doing project management just as there is an approach to the technology that you use. It's an engineering style of organizing your thought process. That's what we're all about here. And project management takes that together and sets it down in a way that forces you into this thought process I'm talking about. The other thing I want to make mention of is, although we're talking about the general areas of industry that you're going to get into, there are several areas that we're not going to touch at all. that probably are going to give you more strife in the industrial area than any other. The two subjects are, number one, budgeting and financial control is by far the item that is of most concern to companies because it's their dollars. We're not going to spend any time really getting into the control of budgeting and worrying about the nickels and dimes of your project unless you have something that's very, very large. But in general, we're going to be located on schedule and design to spec rather than control of budget. The second thing I'd like to do before we even start into this is make sure that you understand in industry there are several large areas that have to take place under the general heading of project management before you even start creating a project plan. And it has to do with the company's authorization of even going ahead with a project. Philip Nagy, are you here? You did a fine job for me. You made my life simpler by giving me something to talk about this morning. Philip sent along with his project concept his company's product development approval request. It's a very formalized set of areas that whoever is kicking off the project must go through. It has topics such as target market. What were you aimed at? Now, I imagine there's a whole marketing group of people that go into producing that item. Target cost, target sell price. Notice the dollars coming across here. New product, or is it an improvement on an old? Lots of questions have to be answered before the president of the company produces his name at the very bottom. And I see that you have a cap here that he signs off at anything 25K and above. And generally, the sales department signs off on things 25K and less. It's dollar-oriented. Are they operating in an area where the funding for the project is aimed at, and is it in the right way that the company wants to do things? Do you want to add anything to this? Your company has the project management approach to life. That's my point here. And generally speaking, most companies have some form or another. By that I mean even small companies may have some informal approach toward how they're handling their projects. It may not be in the style we're talking about here, but some kind of informal process has to happen in order to say, I want to spend that amount of money with this amount of research to do that kind of a task. And that's what we're talking about here. So we want to get you accustomed to what's going on here in this whole subject area of project management. I want you to think in terms, please, that what we're asking you to do shouldn't be a pain in the neck. It should be a help to the success of your project. If you use what we're talking about in the way it's intended, it ought to help you get there rather than hinder. And as I mentioned, most companies have some kind of a style to doing this. This whole subject of professional management is important for you to gather up in your mindset so that you're not surprised when you become part of a company. Many of you I know are co-ops or that you've done some kind of an internship, and you've probably experienced some of this already. Whether it's all or whether you were just a cog in the wheel, I don't know. But the point stands here that somewhere along the line, dealing with the requirements of your company's approach to managing projects is going to become a large part of what you're going to have to contend with to become successful engineers. That's what we're trying to get across here. So we're going to start talking about the general area of planning, and you're going to hear the word specifications and requirements again and again and again. It's the engineer's bread and butter. It's the item that says you know where you're going. You may not have gotten there yet, but you know where you're going, and this is what your task is all about. In the course of creating a project plan, which we will talk about a little bit later, There are acronyms just as any other subject area is concerned, and one of the big ones is called a WBS, or a work breakdown structure. It's a terminology for a rather simple yet profound approach to the thought process of setting up an engineering project plan. In the course of doing this, we want you to consider ahead of time what the risk of your project is about, because it's going to influence how you put your plan together. We're going to ask you to do all of this in a charting form. And the chart we're going to ask you to use is a thing called a Gantt chart, which we will talk about in a little bit here. We're also going to talk about some fundamentals that I'd like you to walk away and kind of remember. We're going to talk eventually, maybe not today, but eventually on the execution of the project, and that's where this teamwork becomes very influential in how you want to handle things. And we're going to talk about the subject of monitoring. And that's not just in your presentation to Dr. Merritt and myself. It's also how you go about and do the work within your own team set. It's important for you to monitor yourself, is what I'm trying to say. And lastly, but not leastly, we want to focus on the word verification, because the verification is the proof of the pudding. And we've got things going on here. All right, in any event, we're going to approach the professional style as it applies to planning, execution, monitoring. Communication is a big deal. Well, we got some sensitivity here. The communication style that you use is not only the communication of your written reports. It also has to do with your oral presentation and, by the way, how you listen to one another. We're going to talk about all three of those. The need now, I want to sell you a little bit on why we should be concerned about project management. Project management takes a set of complex tasks that are interdependent in some way, and also says, well, if things happen along the way, such as the word change, how do you look at this? How do you handle it? How do you keep your project together? And that's what this whole style is about. Project management considers the project as a system of interrelated tasks in a changing environment. It's not static. It allows you to, as you go along, it allows you to deal with upset. And unless you've got a project that you're already done with and you're just reporting on it, you're going to have to deal with the word change, because things are going to surprise you. Things are going to happen that you didn't expect. Things are going to fail as you go along and say, gee, I thought this was going to work, and it's not. Now, when you're dealing with that, you need to have some kind of style wrapped around your approach that says, here's what I'm going to do about it. All right. In addition, project management balances the schedule, the budget, and the performance. In your particular case, budgeting isn't going to be a big deal, again, unless you happen to run out of dollars in your wallet. But as far as running a project is concerned, budgeting isn't going to be the issue here in senior project. On the other hand, completing your project in time, namely being worried about the schedule, and completing your project to performance, to what you predicted and what you wanted to get done, those are the two big items that we're going to be worried about. Planning includes task estimation and contingency thinking. It's the first opportunity that you have to even think about what it is you're going to do. The execution later on includes teamwork. I think I mentioned this. We're also going to spend a considerable amount of time talking about the qualities and the characteristics of leaders and leadership. I don't necessarily mean to imply that you're not a good team member unless you're a leader. On the contrary, there are a lot of engineers who, by their very nature, are not desirous of being leaders, and they become extraordinarily good team people. I'm just going to point out to you what the characteristics are about, so that at least you'll have some awareness to that. We're also going to be talking about painful reviews. Painful because they mean you're going to have to do something in addition to running your project, and you're not going to want to do that. Well, that may be the case, but in industry, The pain is where it's at. That's the only way. That's the only way your supervisors and your company knows whether they're paying you well, whether you're getting to the end game that they want you to. So they have to monitor your results or your lack thereof, and maybe give you more resources than you thought you needed. But nevertheless, monitoring is a big deal. I mentioned that communication that we're going to talk about later on includes professional writing and includes clear speaking and good listening habits. We'll talk about that downstream. We'll also talk about organizational connection to project management. You need to have some notion up front of how organizations are put together and how they set up and run the project management approach. It's a good thing to know about. Certain areas may cause you a lot of trouble if you're not aware about it in advance. I want to define something to start off with, and that is a project is a temporary endeavor undertaken to create a unique project, a product, or service. It is not an exercise just to do something. It's the fundamental reason why we're concerned that your concepts have something that you know where you're going to or where you desire to go to. Otherwise, the tasks turn out to be something that you just, whenever you have time, you put your effort into it, and whenever you're done, you happen to collect everything that you worked at up until that point and say, this is what I've got. That is not a managed project. That's not what we're out after, and that's not why we're putting project management around things. Project management is the application of knowledge, skills, and techniques on your activities in order to meet or exceed expectation. So what's this word expectation all about? Well, industry looks at expectation in the following way. Project performance must assure completion on time. They expect you to get done when the time frame is finished. They want you to demonstrate operating performance to spec, showing that their money was well spent. Project management forces those things to happen. It's an automatic if you use them. In this particular course, we want you to complete your project to spec, and we want you to satisfy your technical advisor in doing that within the time frame of your semester. It goes hand in glove with the same sort of approach that industry looks at things overall. We also are going to require you to use the project management techniques in laying things out. Ultimately, we want to communicate professionally, and what that means is, in the best way I know how to talk about it up front, is that you write in a complete, clear, and concise manner. Now, that's easily said, but it's another thing to do. We'll talk about the details of communication at another time, but it does mean that you don't ramble. It does mean that you don't write a diary. It does mean that you don't put things into your project that are unnecessary. So there is a judgment call on how you write things, and there is an organization to what has to be done in order to provide what amounts to be a professional technical report. So why do planning? Well, first of all, and most obvious, it's the opportunity that you have, firstly, to envision the tasks that you need to allocate in the time frame you've got. You've got to ask yourself, or your team as a whole, do I have enough time to do what I'm setting out? And if the answer comes back no, well, then you're trying to do too much. We don't want you to do that either. You won't be successful if you're trying to do too much. But we want you to think upfront toward what you believe you can accomplish. Sometimes in doing a planning process, it's better to, quote, back into things, where you say, okay, I've got this a lot of time, and you move from the back to the front. It's another approach to planning. But if you don't know where you're headed out, you need to meet with your group and you need to talk about what it is that you're going to have to do in the way of tasks to get there. Planning gives you an opportunity to identify up front potential problem areas. You need to think about those. You don't need to just jump into your project and say, well, when I get there, I'll deal with whatever the matter is. You need to think in advance where the project has its hard spots, where the high risks are, and we'll talk about risk assessment a little bit later. But it's an opportunity to think in terms of where you're going. Overall, the reason for the plan is you want to reduce the risk and ensure completion of the project. That's the reason you're putting a plan together. It also is useful, if you've got a good plan, toward being able to use the plan itself as a means of direction when you get into a problem mode. When something goes awry, you need to be able to say, wait a minute, I want to create an alternate plan. Now, do I have enough resources, time frame, whatever I may need, and you need to use your plan to be able to decide whether you can possibly do it that way. So, project planning. The purpose is to determine how the project will be achieved. You're going to want to think about what it is that you want to go out and do. You want to think in terms of who will do what. We spent some time talking about teamwork by saying it isn't a good idea just to arbitrarily allot tasks to each individual on the team. You need to think about whether a team member is more adept. Do they have the right technology to connect up with a particular part of the task? It's a thought process that says put the right person with the right job. Obviously, you want to create when will tasks be done? How much they cost, that's the budget aspect. We won't spend too much time talking about that. You want to minimize uncertainty. You want to avoid cost and schedule overrun. You want to help ensure performance. The major items of what we're about here is that you set up a specification, you set up a plan of verifying once you get there that you have accomplished that set of specifications, and you want to do all of that in the time frame allotted. Well, I don't know what's happening here. All right. The detailed task list that I talked about, and it's very prevalent in any governmental organization, or for that matter, any company that is working for the government, has to do what is called a work breakdown structure. And what that is very simple. It's a logically thought out list of things to be accomplished. But what isn't easy is that it needs to be done in as detailed a fashion as possible. So at the early stage of the project, you may not have all that detail yet. That's okay. You make a first pass at it. You sit down with your group and you brain bust. We're going to talk about brain busting and go through an example next Monday. You go through an organized effort to put down as detailed as you possibly can what all the tasks that lay in front of you are. Once you create that list, we'll worry about the time frame secondly. But just make that list. Oh, my goodness. All right, as detailed as possible. Once you have that list, we're going to put together a charting. It's going to be called a Gantt chart. We'll go through the detail of that shortly. I just want to give you a background on things. There's lots of, and this is perhaps something that's an aside rather than a terrific use to you, but I want you to understand there's a lot of different charting involved out there. The first approach that's used very much in the construction industry is called a precedent diagram method, a PDM. These are layouts of a flow chart. In this particular case, it happens to be a logic diagram where each box in the diagram is a task, and it shows interdependency connecting up with what other tasks that you have laid out. A PERT diagram, which is short for Program Evaluation and Review Technique, and by the way, on each one of these things, there's books and books written about how you go about generating it. We're just, cutting the surface here. The PERT approach is a sequential network logic with weighted averages. And by that I mean each task has a thought process associated with it where you say, I'm going to have approximately a certain amount of time that I'm going to need to complete that task. And then you create some kind of statistic around it that says, I know a lot about that one, or I know a little bit about that one, and there's where the weighted average comes in. The CPM, a critical path method, is a takeoff on PERT, where what in essence does is it looks for what is the most crucial path, which tasks are on the so-called critical path, that if I mess up and I don't complete any one of those on that particular path, I'm going to very definitely run out of time to complete my project. It has, for each task, a minimum, a maximum, and a most likely time. So there's a lot of statistics involved in it. Not a lot, but some. And it forces you to pay attention to what is the crucial path to success. The Gantt or bar chart is what we're going to be using. And it takes the tasks from that work breakdown structure I talked about. It may or may not, this chart may or may not include dependencies. And what I mean by that is that I must complete this task before I start that one, or I must complete all of this before I start part of a second one. There's an interrelationship that may or may not be there. We're not going to worry too much about those interrelationships. It clutters up the chart, and it's a higher order effort of getting there. I don't think you're going to have that many interdependencies to be worried about. Another chart is a milestone chart, and I don't mean to imply that because I put it as a lesser item, it's not. A milestone chart in your particular case are the big items that you got to be concerned about completing. They're your reports. You have a milestone time for your project description to be due. You have a milestone time when your interim report is to be done. And you have a milestone time when your final report, along with your oral, is going to be done. Those are the milestones as far as this project, this class is concerned. Milestones in industry go beyond that. They're not just a report generating thing. They have requirements, for example, that you must have a specific, your prototype being completed could be a milestone. The completion of some kind of a specific test is a milestone because it allows other things to take place. Many times a given project at one company is only a facet to a whole bunch of projects that are being done overall, and people use milestone charts in order to track all kinds of company activities. As a piece of trivia, you'd maybe be interested to know that the Gantt chart comes from a Frenchman by the name of Henri Gantt, done way back in the First World War. He happened to be in the munitions industry, and he was dealing with logistics. And in order to create something that, my gosh, I had trouble the other day, and we're still going at it, Frank. No, it's jumping ahead on me. All right. He happened to notice in his worry about logistics that no matter what he was talking about, time was a common denominator. So he ended up creating this idea of putting tasks against time, and it stuck with the management industry ever since. Without a doubt, the Gantt chart is the most widely used. And the reason it's most widely used, all right, well, for Pete's sake, let's try it again. Having difficulties here. Okay, we must have skipped ahead for another one. The Gantt chart itself is a very simple thing to put together. Progress can be easily seen within the bars that you put for each task, and status then can be reported accordingly. The horizontal scale of a Gantt chart is divided into time segments, depending upon the project itself. It could be as short as minutes. It could be as long as years. It's entirely up to the user on what it is that's most appropriate. In your particular case, a week is probably a decent time frame to put all your tasks against. The vertical scale, that's the project work, and there's various names that are that go against this. They can be called tasks, activities, work packages. In your particular case, it's the tasks that you've laid out in that work breakdown structure. Each bar has a start and an end, and the completion time is the end of the bar, and each bar then gets filled in with whatever the amount of progress you made at the given reporting time. The key things to do in making this chart up is not to do it until after you've completed your work breakdown structure. That's done first. And in creating that work breakdown structure, your team should be doing this as a unit. This should not be put together by the individual who is going to be the team leader, independent of what the other's about. It's a team process because each one of those tasks have to be agreed to by the entire group, and you may have individuals on the team, one that may know more about a given topic than another. I don't know what's happening here, but it's just triggering up. All projects have some sort of task correct relationships. I didn't put an automatic on this, people. We've got the gods coming down and ticking things off here. You need to create your task and precedence before completing the chart. Okay, you don't build a chart first and worry about the task second. The advantages is that it's very, very clear in its pictorial content of what the project's about. You have a model. You have a model right in front of you of what your overall project is going to look like. It's very simple to do. It's not a big deal at all. Progress can be seen as you move through your whole project by the darkened areas, and it's a clear determination to the team when you get behind schedule of what you may be needing to do in order to get back on. The disadvantages are that there's no explicit interrelationships between the tasks unless you put them in. It doesn't necessarily tell you in advance if you're not up to speed on a particular task and you're falling shy of things, it doesn't pop out and tell you that you're going to be in serious trouble downstream. You've got to get into a mindset to be able to get there. The monitoring of this chart is dependent upon two things. Your honesty to yourself, which is what I mean by the reliability of updating the bar. In other words, that in fact, if you darken in a bar, it in fact is done and you're not just kidding yourself. And secondly, and maybe even more importantly, it depends upon the frequency that you go back to look at this. And this is the reason why I mentioned when we were talking about teamwork. The reason behind the team, by the way, is that the overall end result of you all getting together is greater than what individual people by themselves are doing. In order to prompt that to happen, you need to be meeting frequently across the table, and you need to be talking about things like the project plan, as well as where the project difficulties technologically are at. So you talk about the two things. Am I developing my project in the way my plan calls for, or am I going to run out of time? You cannot look at this project in the typical fashion that you look at one of your courseworks where you let things slide to the 11th hour, study like the devil the night before, and pull off a passing grade. You won't get there. That's the reason that this plan exists. It's to coach you as you're moving through the entire project to get you to see where you're at, or better yet, where you should be. So, risk assessment. In building the plan, besides just creating this work breakdown structure, you need to think about tasks later on in the project that may be either very risky or extremely risky, and then build your plan around that accordingly. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, if you're doing some kind of a fabrication, let's say you're making a circuit board, and you're fully dependent on getting componentry at a certain time in your project, you need to ask yourself a question. Are the components that you're out after unique, or is it something that's already on the shelf? That's a risk assessment. If you conclude that you're going to be using a chip that hasn't been introduced yet, and you're depending upon a local field salesman promising you that the chip is going to be available to you on November 1, you need to ask yourself in advance, what are you going to do if that doesn't happen? You may have to create an alternate or a contingency plan in the possibility that that doesn't happen. I'll give you an extremely good example of a group of four fellas that worked on a project several years ago, and they were dependent on that chip availability, as I just mentioned. They were promised, again by the local field fella, that their chip would be available by Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving came and went. The chip wasn't there. They ended up completing their first semester's project with a paper analysis. And their tech advisors allowed them to do that because, quote, they had put in a good effort and people worked the phones a lot. Second semester starts. Promises made. Well, I'm going to have the chip available by Feb 15. Feb 15 comes and goes, no chip. March 15 comes and goes and no chip. The long and the short of the whole thing is that the chip that was supposed to be available in Thanksgiving turned out to be around July 15th. They didn't have a project. Or better yet, they didn't have the project they intended to have. They had a paper analysis, and when that was all done, they presented it. They did not get an A. Well, they quarreled about that. Gee, you know, we worked hard. It, quote, wasn't our fault that we didn't get the chip in time. That's true. But what they should have been doing is asking themselves the question, what will I do in lieu of that chip not being available? There was other ways. They may not have had the same project identically, but they would have had something to show for themselves. In this particular case, they did not. So risk assessment has a great deal to do with thinking ahead and determining what your project's about. I note down here, for example, that the nature of your project has a great deal to do with its risk level. And that simply means that if you happen to be using proven technology, software that's already been developed, that obviously is a lot lesser risk than if I've got to go out and develop something that hasn't been put together or presented on the market before. There's a completely different approach toward your project plan depending upon that range. And obviously what you want to do is arrange that work breakdown structure to favor heavy risk by doing some things early. If you know that you're going to need certain components by such and such a time, and they may not be as available to you as you would like, well, then you do what we call a long lead order. You put an order in at the beginning, knowing full well that if it comes in, I won't need it by then, but by God, it's nice to have in your pocket if it turns out to be the other way around. All right, you want to quantify risks that have a range of outcome. And by that I mean certain tasks, if they fail, can create a whole group of other problems, multiple effects. A classic example, a simple example is if I don't have a certain part, well then that means I'm not going to complete a circuit board, I'm not going to be able to run a test, I'm not going to be able to quantify what I'm all done. So a whole list of things take place on the basis of perhaps one given failure. You need in your thought process up front to make a conscious decision on whether or not your project requires any or some contingency planning. And it all revolves around what your project's about and the risk level of individual tasks within it. The whole point of all this is that what we're about here requires you to think ahead. You may not normally have that bred into your psyche yet, but that's what an engineer's style is about in creating a project. Thinking ahead, now you may not know it all, and I don't mean to imply that if you didn't hit something on the head, you've done a bad job planning. Not at all. I'm just urging the thought process to be there that allows you to consider this up front. Because the consideration, lo and behold, will make things an awful lot easier for you later on. So, as far as project management is concerned, we're going to develop a concept and propose it. You've done that, or you're in the process of doing that. You're going to define the project. That's what we're going to be looking for next week. That includes specs and requirements. We'll have some more words on the specs shortly here. We're going to ask you and we're going to require you to build this detailed task plan that I've been talking about. Later on, we'll execute the project with multiple status reviews. We'll talk about those in the future. We're going to conduct periodic project reviews, and what that's all about is creating a situation, a scene, not very far different from what you're going to be seeing in industry, where you have a time frame to present not just your status, but your whole approach toward doing the project at a particular time frame, talking about whether or not problems that you've got are big deals or not, and going through more details than you would in a status report. We want you to be concerned about the word validation. We've used it synonymously with the word verification. We'll talk about that in the future. Communication, you've got interim project report, and you've got a final report. We'll worry about those downstream. Now, if you look at what we're asking you to do here in the creation of this plan and the thought process that goes around it and the laying out of a work breakdown structure, you're going to see that they ensure success. You know something? It went right through my Gantt chart.
I noticed.
I just saw that off the backtrack because I wanted to spend some time talking about that.
Me too. I noticed.
Yeah, what happened here?
Hopefully it's not another bad case.
I don't know what's happening here, but I just saw that. It launched itself right through that. Come on.
Yeah, they haven't seen what a Gantt chart looks like.
That's right. Well, where is it?
Should be 22.
Yeah. 22 is blank. Why is 22 blank? Well, here. Okay. All right, go to plan B. You all have the paper in front of you.
You want to use the dot camera?
Yes. I have let's see. Well, that's too small to see.
It'll blow it.
It will?
It won't look great. But
there it is. Yeah. Okay. There it is. Okay. Yeah, I want to.
That's not spectacular.
I want to
but...
spend some time talking. Here, can I?
Yeah, unfortunately.
There it is. Okay. All right. Yeah, it blew right through on me. I don't know why. All right. This is a generic Gantt chart. And what we've got here in this particular case is that it happens to be the horizontal time frame is in weeks. This happens to be a status showing what the situation for the project's about at week 20. And all of this here are individual work packages, tasks, labeled from item H down through Z. And the idea here is that each bar is an initial estimate of what you thought your task, item H, for example, is going to take you. And you've laid out in what's normally called a waterfall fashion. You know, you can see it coming down. And this implies that you can't start item I until item H is finished. Okay? Simple. As of week 20, what this is showing is that activity O, and that's right here, is ahead of schedule. It's completed.
It's completed here. It was forecast. It was estimated to take that amount of time. It only took that much. So the darkening end is an effort to show project task progress. What's behind schedules are item K, which hasn't even started yet, and we're out to week 20. Item L, which is which should have been done there. It's still going on to there. Item M, similarly. Item P hasn't started at all, and it should have. And Q should start about now, and I'm off on one. It's over there. So the idea behind this is that it's a picture shot of a given time frame that says at week 20, there's where I'm at. The darkening in is in good shape, but what does this mean? What happens here? Well, K could have some implication down here, and it hasn't even been begun yet. So there's a serious concern there. This may not be that terrible yet. Okay, but each one of these things not started, creates raising of eyebrows. So the whole point of all this is it allows the team itself to take a look at itself and say, you know, I made that estimate. Now I'm not up into that. Well, that does that mean that what I've got to do is create some changes? I think so. I think that what that says is I better take stock of things, and I'm going to either have to create some new tasks to work around that problem. Otherwise, I'm not going to get over here. Because it's very easy when you get into a problem like this to say, I'll make it up here. Okay? That's what every engineer says, don't worry about it. I'll make it up over here. And what happens is, this ends up being right there. And you can't make it up because you've run out of time. Okay? So that's what this is all about. That's what we want you to put together. That's what we want you to report on. And that's what we're saying is an integral part of managing your projects. Okay. Did I miss anything else here? No. Alrighty. I guess I can go ahead then. Do I just turn this off, Frank?
Yeah, just go ahead. Don't forget to select the computer on the touch screen.
Okay. Bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Although I don't know what slide.
Yeah, it's up to 25. Well, we've already gone through that. So
that's in the ballpark.
I can... Yeah, there's something going on here that I have to take a look at here. We talked about that. We talked about that. I guess we're talking about that. All right. We've gone through all of those. Okay, I guess what I'm trying to coax here is that the items that we talked about by themselves are not major technological items. They're very simple in their nature, but they're very useful because they're simple. The idea of risk assessment doesn't stretch the imagination at all, but it is something that people just plain don't simply want to do because it requires you to think ahead. The idea of creating a plan and looking at it is something that's very easy to do, but it defies, you know, an engineer's desire to do because it's not the technology that you like, all right? And you're going to have to get accustomed to doing things that you may not necessarily like. So I'm urging that thought process early. You want to gain experience by doing this, okay? And we're going to force you to do that, by the way. The idea here that if you do these things, believe it or not, you need to think in terms of managing, estimating, risk assessing, all those things, and put that up in your mind as being as important to do for the success of the project as your ability for the application of your technology. Think about it that way. All right, some fundamentals. You must, without a doubt, have specifications or requirements to know what your target is and therefore to know when you're done. There's just no other way around it. And the usefulness of the spec itself depends upon how deep and how detailed you've done the thought process. Milestones, be it the kinds that you're having for this course or what you see in industry, you think in terms of those items being non-negotiable. If you don't turn in your interim report on the due date, you get a goose egg. It's non-negotiable. Granted, if somebody has a serious family problem or illness, that's a different ballgame. But by and large, it's non-negotiable. Constantly monitoring your progress of where you're at or where you're supposed to be is an essential feature in managing your projects. I said that good teamwork is a key to success, and it is. Without teamwork, you have individuals doing their own thing, and you may or may not bring it together, depending upon the nature of the project itself. It is not a good idea at all if you have a project team that happens to be separated, where individuals do their own things and then talk via email. That doesn't breed a good way of running a project, nor will it necessarily create this monitoring that I'm talking about. You need to meet frequently. And what's the word frequently mean? Well, it's whatever the project requires, but certainly it's more often than when you're getting together with your tech advisor, and hopefully that's at least once a week. If you've got outside dependencies, and what do I mean by that? Tasks in your project that you're dependent on others or other agencies to do. If I'm going to have a circuit board built for me by somebody outside of the department, and I have to abide by whatever their priorities are, well, then you must ask yourself, what are you going to do if they don't get it done in time? Because it's quite possible that if you've got somebody building something for you, something came up for them, and they'll call you up and say, well, by the way, I'm not going to have your whatever it is done at this time, but it'll be 2 weeks later. Now, that 2 weeks may not be serious, but if it hits at the right time, it may be very serious. So you must at least address the notion that says, well, if I don't get that circuit board, what am I going to do? The answer is, you're going to build a hand-wired prototype board in some way. That's the answer. But that's going to take you more time, and it certainly wasn't in your plan. So the thought process of anything that has an outside dependency needs for your team to address that. In creating your plan, it's important to do one thing, and that is, if I've got a task that said circuit board design, that's nice. It doesn't say too much. That needs to get broken down to the words, for example, I got a time for layout, I got a time for fab, and I got a time for confirmation testing. Now all of a sudden, the ability to make an estimate of overall time frame becomes a lot simpler because you've broken it down to its subcomponents. That's an engineer's thought process. It's much simpler to be able to say, I'm sure of the time frame if I break things out than if I don't. A plan that says design, fab, and test is useless. That's a given. We know that. You got to break those things out. And I use the words to the lowest level. Well, I guess I didn't get there yet. Another fundamental of project management is that everybody in the team is assigned to do some specific technical task. It is not acceptable for a team to have a person doing just the reporting or the charting or the statusing and not contributing to whatever the project's about. Everybody contributes and everybody's name is beside a given task. You need to plan ahead and you need to prepare these alternate approaches that I talked about. If something comes up that you can create, I use the word workarounds. But the overall thought process focuses your efforts on what your overall time that you've got to work in is. And you don't put that out of your mind, particularly when things go awry. So we've got as far as principles are concerned, we've got an initial phase. You already know, because you've worked the concept, but I'll just reiterate here. The concept talks about the problem and its scope, and really a little more than that. You have, most of you at any rate, created some kind of preliminary objectives. But you have not yet done what we're calling a detailed plan, which is how you're going to do it, do your project, or what you're going to be out after in the way of final specs. Now, the final specs still may not be known to you by the time that you do the next step, which is the project definition, and that's due next Wednesday. But you do want to create a focus that quantifies the what. What are you doing? And that's where the word specification comes in. So your teams should be meeting now to talk about this specification effort so that you can lay it out in as a detailed fashion as possible. It's entirely also possible that hard number specs are just not appropriate to whatever you're doing. We understand that. But in that particular case, you must get back to functionality. Because if you don't have a spec, you cannot demonstrate your project completion. That's the fundamental. You end up by showing some work, but who knows for what purpose. Now, as far as specifications are concerned, let's spend a little bit of time talking about that. The amount of effort that you put into the words create a specification ends up helping dramatically clearing up any misunderstandings that you may have between your teammates. The completeness, as far as you carrying specification, are going to remove any contradictory assumptions. Some person in their mind may be thinking about a certain, this is on a team basis now, may be thinking about an item differently than you. So the more you talk about this word spec, the more you beat out what person's viewpoints are on individual items. And that's what I mean here when I'm saying that the rigor, the amount of effort that you put into the effort on specification will drive those details that are laid out in that project plan. The effort itself forces that detailed thinking. So people spend time dealing with the word spec. And if you can't deal with it on your own, fine. Get your tech advisor to help you. But beat at it. The next thing you want to do is to prepare that work breakdown structure to as low a level of detail as possible. That's a key part there. You want to determine who's going to do what based upon the abilities, the expertise, and the motivation. Some individuals are motivated more than others to do a certain item. You pick and choose that way. And we talked about the Gantt chart. Yes, there's going to be a budget. That task plan, once again, and then I'll drop away from it, is that task plan itself should have as low a level as can be comprehended. Now, I'm referring to presenting and using this plan with a piece of software, and I'm referencing Microsoft Project. Are people here at least knowledgeable of what Microsoft Project is about? You know that you can get your hands on it? Have you ever heard of it? You have. Hands up, who's heard of it? Okay, good, great. Now, I just want to point out to you that from my understanding locally on the campus, the problems that students have had with Microsoft Project isn't so much in using it It's getting it to print properly. And there have been extremes generated as a result of that. One of them is the printout turns out to be so large that you shrink fonts down to a number 2 and it becomes unreadable, at least not without a magnifying glass. That's useless. Don't go there. If you can't put something together that people can read and see, it's of no value. Don't worry about creating pages of that horizontal time frame, if that's what it takes to make your printout work. That's okay. We can deal with that. But the important things are, one, that you create this detailed list of tasks, and two, that you use it and you update it. Okay? And if it means now that you have to put it on multiple pages, because that's the way the printout pushes it, okay. Second comment is, Microsoft Project by itself is an aid. It's something that's convenient. It's easily updatable. If for one reason or another you can't get at it, you can't use it, and you want to build something by using some other piece of software, that's okay. The idea behind the whole thing is to make it useful to the team and readable by us. All right? People have gotten to the point where they've built it manually. Well, yeah, that's all right, but it then it loses its usefulness because it means, I don't know why it's, let me just kill this thing. I'm done anyway with this. That's not what I wanted anyway. Okay. The usefulness of the whole project plan is what we're out after, and we're interested in the thought process that goes into putting it together, not the inability of printing it out properly. Okay? Is that all right with everybody? You're going to use this project plan in your status report. You're going to present it in your interim and final reports. You're going to use it when you generate your project reviews. So it's going to be something that's going to come along with you all the way. We want to make it simple and easy and not a burden. All right? So if you have problems with it, raise your hand or tell us about it, and we can work through it, I'm sure. And that's what I've got for today.
Okay.
Whether you want to say anything more about
just a couple comments. One of the big things is that reusability. You know, just as we said, you're going to use this throughout the semester. It's not just going to be something that you do in your proposal and you'll never come back and look at it until the end. You're going to use it as part of your oral presentations in class. You're going to use it as part of those design reviews. It'll go in all the reports. And by the way, all the written stuff is going to be that way. That theme of reusability, you know, that's something engineers like to do. You know, use it, don't reinvent stuff. Your technical, your interim, your midterm technical report, you're going to build on that to make your final technical report. You've got 2 design reviews, 2 oral status presentations in class. The expectation is you're just going to take the first one and modify it to make the second one. You know, so it doesn't look like, or rather, it looks like more work than what it really will be to do all of the reporting. The open-ended nature of senior project is what makes it different than most other courses. You know, most of the time, here's the homework assignment. You can put it off until the day before or the night before, or rather, you can wait and go to class and do it during class. Just do it at the end of class. You know, it depends on how closely you feel or how good you feel about your abilities. The problem is this kind of stuff is open-ended. Maybe you've done a real project course. Those tend to be pretty open-ended. Not a lab course, project course. You know, like some of the mechatronics courses or stuff like that, very open-ended. That's what senior project is like. Unfortunately, we have a couple constraints. It's fun doing a lot of this stuff, and, you know, we can do it 24/7 and all of that. But unfortunately, the real world is governed by accountants, managers, budgets, and all of that kind of stuff. And as we were saying earlier, one of the really important things, engineers tend to design products. Products are to be sold and generate money. And that means you're working for the accountants and the managers and everything. And they come up with the schedules. They come up with the deadlines. You have no idea how much effort major companies put into the analysis of how long does it take to get a new product out. And if they can shave 1 or 2 weeks off somewhere, that can give them a huge market advantage, have a huge profit. Like I had a master's student working on computer-aided design of print circuit boards. This was a ways back. And he developed a technique, because this was high-speed computer boards, for analyzing the electromagnetic cross-coupling, cross-talk between the traces on the printed circuit boards before they were built, using a look-ahead technique from that combined computer graphics and electromagnetic field calculations. Okay? That shaved 4 weeks off the development cycle for a product. It cut out one complete month. They were able to get their products out there so fast it wasn't funny. We had to sign a non-disclosure agreement immediately. Instead of going on and completing his degree, he did. They made him an offer he couldn't refuse, monetarily, which was really good, and basically it became a black project, as we call it in the trade. You don't tell anyone else about it. It's a trade secret. It gives you a competitive advantage over your competitors. So that's why this kind of analysis is real important. You know, looking at where can you really find something that if you could speed it up, it would really make you a much better company and a much more profitable company. You know, there's nothing wrong with being rich. You don't have to be, but, you know, if it happens, it's okay.
Does anybody have any questions on this thing called Gantt charting? Anything?
It's not that hard.
It isn't. It's intended to be very, very simple. But simple things. Yes, sir.
Any good programs for Unix environment?
Ooh, that's there probably are some shareware things out there.
I know specifically.
Oh, okay.
A program called Amendio Planner for
Iceland. Okay. And, you know, there should be a lot of little shareware Gantt chart programs out there. It's probably easiest to do it on a computer, as we were saying earlier, because you're going to modify a couple times throughout the semester.
And you may end up modifying it big time when the first failure hits.
Yeah, and by the way, that's the kind of thing that we're going to be looking for. We've already looked for it in your concepts. And we're going to be looking for it in your proposals because, you know, I hate to say it, some of our tasks now is upper management. You know, we're watching for you having some real problems. I mean, you can have horrible examples, like the project or the chip that you were going to use didn't come in until after the semester was over. That's a real bad thing. None of the ones that I've looked at look like they have problems like that. Sometimes the hardest problem that you're going to have right now is simply understanding what the project is. You know, working with your advisor, working with us, just even deciding on the project. There are problems in advance. Now, you're not going to be that concerned. Don't change over time. I don't know if I said that right. Expect them to change over time. The big thing is you have tools to handle
it. Now, I worked for a company that had a very stringent outlook on things. It was called Get It Right the First Time. And I don't know, you know, the difficulty of working in that kind of environment is without a doubt stressful. Because I don't know anybody who's got
it's also a thing. In fact, as soon as I convert my